8 minutes later, he heard a key in the lock and looked up and expected to see Poulton at the door. But it wasn't Poulton. It was a woman. She looked about 16. She had long, fair hair and a loose ponytail, white teeth and an open, tanned face, bright blue eyes. She was wearing a man's suit, extensively tailored to fit, a white shirt and a tie, small black shoes with low heels. She was over 6 feet tall, long-limbed and very slim, and completely spectacular. And she was smiling at him.
"Hi," she said.
Reacher made no reply, just stared at her. Her face clouded and her smile turned a little embarrassed.
"So, you want to do the FAQs right away?"
"The what?"
"The FAQs. Frequently asked questions."
"I'm not sure I have any questions."
"Oh, okay."
She smiled again, relieved. It gave her a frank, guileless look.
"What are the frequently asked questions?" he said.
"Oh, you know, the stuff most new guys around here ask me. It's really, really tedious."
She meant it. He could see that. But he asked anyway.
"What kind of stuff?" he said.
She made a face, resigned.
"I'm Lisa Harper," she said. "I'm 29. Yes, really. I'm from Aspen, Colorado. I'm 6'1". Yes, really. I've been at Quantico 2 years. Yes, I date guys. No, I dress like this just because I like it. No, I'm not married. No, I don't currently have a boyfriend. And no, I don't want to have dinner with you tonight."
She finished with another smile, and he smiled back.
"Well, how about tomorrow night?" he said.
She shook her head.
"All you need to know is I'm an FBI agent on duty."
"Doing what?"
"Watching you," she said. "Where you go, I go. You're classified SU, status unknown, maybe friendly, maybe hostile. Usually that means an organized crime plea bargain, you know, some guy ratting out his bosses. Useful to us, but not reliable."
"I'm not organized crime."
"Our file says you might be."
"Then the file is bullshit." She nodded and smiled again.
"I looked Petrosian up separately. He's a Syrian. Therefore, his rivals are Chinese, and they never employ anybody except other Chinese. Implausible they'd use an American wasp like you."
"You point that out to anybody?"
"I'm sure they already know. They're just trying to get you to take the threat seriously."
"Should I take it seriously?"
She nodded, stopped smiling.
"Yes, you should," she said. "You should think very carefully about Jody."
"Jody's in the file?"
She nodded again.
"Everything's in the file."
"So why don't I have a handle on my door? My file shows I'm not the guy."
"Because we're very cautious, and your profile is very bad. The guy will turn out to be very similar to you."
"You a profiler, too?"
She shook her head. The ponytail moved with it.
"No, I'm operational, assigned for the duration. But I listen carefully. Listen and learn, right? So, let's go."
Harper held the door. It closed softly behind Reacher as they walked to a different elevator. This one had buttons for 5 basement floors in a line beneath 3, 2, and 1. She pressed the bottom button. Reacher stood beside her and tried not to breathe in her scent. The elevator settled with a bump, and the door slid back on a gray corridor, bright with fluorescent light.
"We call this the bunker," Harper said. It used to be our nuclear shelter. Now it's BS.
That's for damn sure, Reacher said.
Behavioral science, and that's a very old joke.
She led him to the right. The corridor was narrow and clean, but not public area clean. It was a working place. It smelled faintly of sweat and old coffee and office chemicals. There were notice boards on the walls and random stacks of stationery cartons in the corners. There was a line of doors in the left-hand wall.
Here,
Harper said. She stopped him in front of a door with a number on it and reached across him and knocked. Then she used the handle and opened it up for him.
I'll be right outside, she said.
He went in and saw Nelson Blake behind a crowded desk in a small, untidy office. There were maps and photographs taped carefully to the walls, piles of paper everywhere, no visitor chair. Blake was glowering. His face was red with blood pressure and pale with strain all at the same time. He was watching a muted television set. It was tuned to a political cable. A guy in shirt sleeves was reading something to a committee. The caption read, Director of the FBI.
Budget hearings, Blake muttered. Singing for our damn supper.
Reacher said nothing. Blake kept his eyes on the television.
Case conference in 2 minutes, he said. So listen up for the rules. Consider yourself somewhere between a guest and a prisoner here. Okay?
Reacher nodded. Harper already explained that.
Right. She stays with you all the time. Everything you do, everywhere you go, you're supervised by her. But don't get the wrong idea. You're still a Mars boy. Only she stays here because she won't fly, and you'll need to get around some. Whereupon, we need to keep an eye on you. So Harper goes too. The only time you're alone is when you're locked in your room. Your duties are what Lamar tells you they are. You wear your ID at all times.
Okay.
And don't get ideas about Harper. Thing with her is, she looks nice, but you start messing with her, then she's the bitch from hell. Okay?
Okay.
Anything else?
Is my phone tapped?
Of course it is.
Blake riffed through papers, slid a thick finger down a printout.
You just called your girlfriend, private office line, apartment, mobile, no answer.
Where is she? Blake shrugged.
Hell should I know?
Then he scrabbled in the pile of paper on his desk and came up with a large brown envelope, held it out.
With Kozo's compliments, he said.
Reacher took the envelope. It was stiff and heavy. It contained photographs, 8 of them. They were color glossies, 8x10. Crime scene photographs. They looked like stuff from a cheap skin magazine, except the women were all dead. The corpses were displayed in limp imitations of centerfolds. They were mutilated. Pieces were missing. Things had been inserted into them, here and there.
Petrosian's handiwork, Blake said. Wives and sisters and daughters of people who pissed him off.
So how come he's still running around? There was silence for a second.
There's proof and then there's proof, right?
Blake said. Reacher nodded.
So where's Jody? Hell should I know, Blake said again. We got no interest in her as long as you play ball. We're not tailing her. Petrosian can find her himself if it comes to that. We're not going to deliver her to him. That would be illegal, right?
So would breaking your neck. Blake nodded.
Stop the threats, okay? You're in no position.
I know this whole thing was your idea. Blake shook his head.
I'm not worried about you, Reacher. Deep down, you think you're a good person. You'll help me, and then you'll forget all about me.
Reacher smiled. I thought you profilers were supposed to be real insightful. 3 weeks is a nice, complicated interval, which is exactly why you chose it. It has no obvious significance. They'll drive themselves mad trying to understand a 3 week interval. They'll have to dig real, real deep before they see what you're doing. Too deep to be feasible. The closer they get to it, the less it will mean. The interval leads nowhere, so the interval makes you safe. But does it have to be maintained? Maybe. A pattern is a pattern. It ought to be a very strict thing, very precise, because that's what they're expecting. Strict adherence to a pattern. It's typical in this sort of case. The pattern protects you. It's important, so it should be maintained. But then again, maybe it shouldn't. 3 weeks is a pretty long interval and pretty boring, so maybe you should speed it up. But anything less would be very tight, given the work required. Soon as one was done, the next would have to be prepared, a treadmill. Difficult work on a tight schedule. Not everybody could do it, but you could, of course. The case conference was held in a long, low room a floor above Blake's office. There was light brown fabric on the walls, worn shiny where people had leaned on it or brushed against it. One long wall had 4 recesses let into it, with blinds and concealed lighting simulating windows, even though the room was 4 stories underground. There was a silent television mounted high on the wall, with the budget hearings playing to nobody. There was a long table made of expensive wood, surrounded by cheap chairs set at 45-degree angles, so they faced the head of the table, where there was a large empty blackboard set against the end wall. The blackboard was modern, like it came from a well-endowed college. The whole place was airless and quiet and isolated, like a place where serious work was done, a postgraduate seminar room. Harper led Reacher to a seat at the far end from the blackboard, the back of the class. She sat one place nearer the action, so he had to look past her shoulder. Blake took the chair nearest the board. Poulton and Lamar came in together carrying files, absorbed in low conversation. Neither of them glanced anywhere except at Blake. He waited until the door closed behind them, and then stood up and flipped the blackboard over. The top right quarter was occupied by a large map of the United States, dotted with a forest of flags, 91 of them, Reacher guessed, without trying to count them all. Most of them were red, but 3 of them were black. Opposite the map on the left was an 8x10 color photograph, cropped and blown up from a casual snapshot taken through a cheap lens onto a grainy film. It showed a woman squinting against the sun and smiling. She was in her 20s, and pretty. A plump, happy face, framed by brown curly hair.
"Lorraine Stanley, ladies and gentlemen," Blake said. "Recently deceased in San Diego, California."
Underneath the smiling face were more 8x10s pinned up in a careful sequence. The crime scene. They were crisper photographs, professional. There was a long shot of a small Spanish-style bungalow taken from the street, a close-up of the front door, wide shots of a hallway, a living room, the master bedroom, the master bathroom. The back wall was all mirror above twin sinks. The photographer was reflected in the mirror, a large person bundled into a white nylon coverall, a shower cap on his head, latex gloves on his hands, a camera at his eye, the bright halo of the strobe caught by the mirror. There was a shower stall on the right and a tub on the left. The tub was low, with a wide lip. It was full of green paint.
"She was alive 3 days ago," Blake said. "Neighbors saw her wheeling her garbage to the curb, 8:45 in the morning, local time. She was discovered yesterday by her cleaner."
"We got a time of death?" Lamar asked.
"Approximate," Blake said. "Sometime during the second day."
"Neighbors see anything?"
Blake shook his head.
"She took her garbage can back inside the same day. Nobody saw anything after that."
M.O.?
Exactly identical to the first two.
Evidence?
Not a damn thing so far. They're still looking, but I'm not optimistic.
Reacher was focusing on the picture of the hallway. It was a long, narrow space leading past the mouth of the living room back to the bedrooms. On the left was a narrow shelf at waist height, crowded with tiny cactus plants in tiny terracotta pots. On the right were more narrow shelves, fixed to the wall at random heights and in random lengths. They were packed with small china ornaments. Most of them looked like dolls, brightly painted to represent national or regional costumes. The sort of things a person buys when she's dreaming of having a home of her own.
"What did the cleaner do?"
he asked. Blake looked all the way down the table.
"Screamed a bit, I guess, and then called the cops."
"No, before that. She has her own key?"
"Obviously."
"Did she go straight to the bathroom?"
Blake looked blank and opened a file. Leafed through it and found a faxed copy of an interview report.
"Yes, she did. She puts stuff in the toilet bowl, leaves it to work while she does the rest of the house, comes back to it last."
"So she found the body right away, before she did any cleaning?"
Blake nodded.
"Okay,"
Reacher said.
"Okay what?"